Okay, the palm reading. So really, working into the Gypsy palm reading, you know, it's pretty easy for me because I had a big imagination. But with the little girls would get together, and I was reading all their poems and telling them things. And I just mainly it was entertaining because I wanted the girls to have it, and they were having such a good time. This was really great fun for them. So the next day or two after the little girls went home, and I was just sitting there in the house. It was a warm summer day. I had the door open, and all of a sudden I saw this car pull in my driveway, pull down the front door, and this woman jumps out. She runs in my front door because it's unlocked. She saw me sitting there. She'd come in. She said, held her hand out to me, and she said, "I'm Stacy's mother. Read my poem." And I thought, oh, my goodness. And, you know, I didn't know her because some of the little girls, I hadn't really met the parents. I just met the girl. And I said, well, I was just doing this for fun. She said, my daughter was here, and she told me you read poems. And I said, no, not really. I just kind of do it for fun. She said, well, do you mind? Just do it for fun. So I did, and she hit me. Gosh, that's just right. Oh, how'd you know that? You know, she just thrilled with everything. And then it just sort of went from there. She kept bringing everybody over to my house. Oh, read their poems. So I did. I said, okay. And everybody, oh, gosh, you know, that's true. And then she'd bring all these strangers, you know. I didn't have the vaguest idea. And I would just go by what I remember from the book and what the lines would say. And it just sort of got started like that. And then, of course, all of Chris's friends and all the high school kids and everybody was, that was the big thing. She had a New Year party, and everybody wanted to end up having their palm read and everything. And then the cards just sort of followed. I really hadn't, in fact, Judy, the first mother, got me into the cards. She said, well, try the cards. I said, I don't know how to, you know, I've never done any of this. I don't know what I'm doing. So I just got a book, you know, how to read the cards. Mm-hmm. And so I just went by the book. And that coupled with my imagination, I'll see the turnout. But it's really strange the way things like that work because all of it is done very much in fun. But sometimes, I know with one woman in particular, these were adults now, usually the mothers of the children. And one of the mothers, she was from Germany, she, one of her children, was there when I was reading poems for Christina's friend. And she came over and she said, she wanted me to read her poem, and I did. And I said, well, I said, I know you have two children, because I'd worked with a woman from second grade, and we're now up in one high school. And I said, I know you have two children, you have a boy and a girl, but I said, according to your poem, you should have three children, because that's what her line said. And I said, I know, you know, that's not right. And she got kind of a funny look on her face, and she said, it is right. She said, I have a son in Germany that nobody knows about. And that was kind of spooky, and I thought, how about that? And when this sort of thing happens, it just kind of threw me. And another time I was doing the cards. Of course, the little cards I do are more psychological cards rather than, they're not witches cards. I didn't have the tarot then. I was just doing what they call the Stargate, which is anybody can do for their own self-image or their own benefit. Mm-hmm. And they're just like symbols, and then you relate, however you relate to the symbol that's on the card. And I was doing the cards one time for one of Chris's friends, and I would hate it when the little coffin, there's a coffin card, and there's some, you know, the little dreary cards that might show up. And the coffin card came up with her friend, and it came up by another, there are two or three other around it, and you're supposed to read according to a little story, which I can make up stories. And so we had three little cards, and I looked at them, and I was trying to think, now what kind of a story am I going to get with this coffin card without really upsetting the girl a lot? And I didn't want to freak her out because I didn't know her. And I thought, gosh, you know, you can't tell somebody, ooh, the coffin, you know, they're scared. And so I looked over the little situation, and I said, well, and there was the little card that meant sickness too, but it was a whole little three or four cards that you had to kind of tie together. And I said, you have a friend who is in danger of dying, really. She's very ill. It came up sudden, because there was kind of a sudden card, which is thunder, lightning, one of them, you know, that means the event happened quickly. Wasn't long term, and I said, the girl is in danger, health is in danger. And she looked at me and she said, you know, my best friend tried to commit suicide last night, and she's in intensive care right now.
Wow.
And, you know, when things like that happen, it makes you, like, I don't know where it came from me telling her that. I had no idea. Just I looked at the cards, and that's what they seemed to say, so that's what I told her. And I was trying, too, to tone it down where she wouldn't be afraid. And other things that came up, like normal, I know one woman I was reading, I didn't, everybody likes to bring strangers because they don't want, you know, say, oh, don't tell her anything. Let's see, she, you know, she's supposed to be psychic, wants her figured out, which I'm not. I'm not psychic. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing this because everybody keeps coming, you know. If you don't keep coming, I'd probably quit doing it. But I had this one, and she was a woman I knew that brought a friend, and she was sitting there. I said, here, do her friend, you know, so I was looking over. I didn't know if the friend was married, divorced, or what, but according to the little set up a card, you know, it said, I didn't know she was divorced. I think they told me that. And I said, well, you have another man in your life here, because the little night card came up, and that's what that's supposed to mean. She said, that's right, you know, and that's all she was going to say. And then another old card came up, and I said, well, this is a long-distance relationship. He's not living in the same place you are. He's, right now, you're having to communicate by phone, letter, whatever. She said, mm-hmm, he's in Panama. That's when the whole thing with Panama was going on. He said, he's military. He's in Panama. He's having the right to meet, you know, Paul. And then I said, well, kept going, throwing little cards down. Another one came out, and I said, he's very generous, isn't he? He has money. She holds up her old diamond bracelet. Uh-huh, got this for Christmas. And we're going, I thought, boy, I'm on a roll here. You know, see what the next card says. So I drive the next card. The next one is the old thunder lightning stuff, and I said, uh-oh, this relationship is not going to work. This is a wrong relationship. So then we ended the reading, and I didn't see the woman again, but that was about 3 weeks later, somebody came up to me and said, you remember her? I forgot what her name was now. She said, she found out that fella she was going with was married. She didn't know it at the time, and said it's completely, you know, over now. He was not going to get a divorce, and it just didn't work out. I said, okay. I say, have, you know, that's how the card reading sort of goes. I still have people. I have one that calls long distance from Colorado. I've only met her once. It's about 4 years ago. About every full moon she calls, she says, do my card, go to the phone. I said, you're wasting your money because I can't do this.
We keep ducking the question.
But I keep doing it.
Do you believe in them or not?
I don't know. It's really hard. I really don't. But I say, I'm experienced with anything, and I love mysteries. I like all kinds of little mysteries, and I like, you know, the little wonder of everything, like, is it or isn't it? And I like that. I like life in general, but well, life is a mystery. You just don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next, and your life can change in a heartbeat. You can, you know, it's all very mysterious. Even religion, every religion, it's just kind of like involving a mystery, too. So I think there are psychic experiences. I think some people are capable, and I think at times we all are. I think everybody is capable of having, you know, a little psychic. You have the little feeling. I know even my husband, he used to say even before when his father died, he was in Texas at the time, but he said he knew something was wrong. He had the feeling, you know, when he got the call that his father was dead. And I think we've all had that. And I don't know, I say some of the things with the cards, I think it's just the symbols sort of bring out things. I think maybe you can pick up from people, you know. But it's not anything I would put my lifetime, you know, thing into. But it's one of those fun things.
Okay, one last question. Let's talk about going back to family. You said you were independent, kind of a free-willing for a long part of your early life. And you didn't get married till, how old were you?
I was 34.
34. And then you didn't have a child until?
36.
Okay, well, was it worth it? Is this what you wanted? I mean, did you plan to get married later? Did you plan to have a child?
No,
a lot of people
really
choose not to have families.
I didn't. I'm the type, I don't really even plan much from day to day. Like if somebody says, what are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. Other than I'm like, yeah, I'll get up and go to work. But other than that, I don't have anything planned. You know, I don't plan my days off. And I say, what are you going to do your day? Oh, I don't know. I'll just get up in the morning and see what the day looks like, you know, and then I'll figure out what I'm going to do. But really, I didn't even plan. I didn't plan marriage or not marriage or anything. I just kind of, then career, you know, I just went, did my job. And, of course, I did meet my husband. And I really wasn't even thinking about getting married particularly then. Marriage was never a big thing, I think, because of probably my childhood and the way, you know, my father was, I guess I was relating, well, maybe men are like this, you know. I didn't have a whole lot of experience with it. And I didn't have any big dreams, oh, you know, I'm going to get married, this is going to be the big goal of my life. And it just kind of happened when I did meet him, and we decided to get married and children that he'd already had. He was divorced, so he had two children that were probably in their late teens by the time we got married, and he was 10 years older than I. So it didn't matter, you know, as far as he was concerned, it would be either way, you know. We did talk about it a little bit, because I wasn't supposed to be able to have children anyway, so it was kind of a surprise in a way, but it was okay. Because
okay.
I had like when I was 2 years old, I had ruptured appendix, which back then was a thing you usually didn't survive. And in my little town, of course, I wasn't near a hospital when this happened. There were no doctors right away, and it was weeks by the time they knew my appendix had ruptured. You know, all the poison had already gone through my system, and by the time they did the surgery, there was just no. You know, the doctor said, well, there's no use even taking the appendix out. So I still have my appendix, but they did what they could, not expecting me to survive. And then adhesions and different things with, you know, tying down my ovaries and tubes. And so all the medical doctors after that point, you know, were pretty sure that I couldn't have children anyway. So when I got pregnant, it was just a surprise, but it was okay. You know, I said, okay, that'll be all right. This is just the next step, and that'll be great. And my husband, he was kind of thrilled about it too, you know, starting out with another little baby when most men his age were grandparents. Here he is with a newborn.
Anything you would like to say before we finish this up for the sake of history?
No, I think I don't know how much I contribute to the sake of history here, but I think anybody, they have different choices to make and can go one way or the other. And as far as education, I don't know. Kids are still kids, and I think they had the same kind of qualities back when I was teaching that you see a lot of them have now. I don't, maybe there's more children violence now than there was then, but it seemed to be not so much, I don't think you can stereotype it. It's some, you look at them as individuals, there are a lot of good kids around. There are a lot of kids that need, you know, good teachers. And there are a lot that nobody's going to help anyway. You know, you can't, you might have to lose them. You can't say, well, I can help every child out there because I'm a teacher. You can't do that. There's some nobody's going to get to, and you just have to plan on that. Take what you can get.
Okay, this concludes our interview, and thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It was enjoyable.